All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, an NBC Sports essayist. 150th Belmont Stakes is tomorrow. That's a huge race every year regardless, but even bigger tomorrow, we are joined by Tim Layden. Tim, it's so good to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
Good, Jim. Good.
Good.
Ready for the race.
Good. I am too. So we're about 24 hours out from the 150th running of the Belmont Stakes. Yet again, Tim, we've got to look at a triple crown. My first question, how different is the feeling and the vibe around the track when it comes to Justify's attempt as opposed to American Pharoah, who arrived at the Belmont 3 years ago?
You know, it's been an interesting week to be here, and I think a lot of us saw this coming in racing, is that, you know, you can't duplicate a 37-year drought without something happening. You know, I liken it to the Red Sox going 86 years and then winning in 2004. You know, the next one they won in 07 was great, but not as big. And it's just, you know, it's a really big thing, Jim, if Justify wins this. It will only be the 13th time ever, but, you know, the buzz is not exactly the same because people have seen it now and the sport doesn't have this desperation to pull it off again. So I think that that's something that's in the air here, and you can't really change it. And I think, you know, it'll get more exciting as we get closer to the race, but you just can't manufacture that kind of rare piece of history.
Tim Layden is my guest. Now, Tim, as you've written, so many horses have tried and failed to win the third leg of the Triple Crown, and the gap between Triple Crown winners became so big that there was this notion of changing the length of the races and the amount of time between the races. In a way, then, did the story of not winning the Triple Crown almost become bigger than winning the Triple Crown?
Jim, I didn't hear your question. I'm sorry. I'm in a tough spot at the track right now.
No, I hear you. I can hear it in the background. I was saying, Tim, that because it was so long between winners of the Triple Crown, there was actual talk about maybe changing things up, making the races a little bit different in terms of length and the amount of time between the races. So what I'm getting at is, did the story of not winning the Triple Crown almost become bigger than actually winning the Triple Crown?
Well, I think so. I mean, because it allowed that anticipation to build year after year after year. I mean, a lot of us that covered it got sick of walking out of here with some horse winning the Derby and Preakness and then getting denied in the Belmont. And it got old after a while. But then when the next one came around, there was this, you know, I'm sure you felt it once you got into the game too, that, you know, there was this anticipation, you know, is this horse the one? You know, is Smarty Jones the one? Is Big Brown the one? Is I'll Have Another the one? And, you know, California Chrome, there was huge enthusiasm for that horse. And then finally American Pharoah. You know, I think there was great relief and excitement when it happened, but then at the same time, you know, there wasn't. Then the next time it's come around, now it's like, okay, what's the storyline other than, you know, can this great horse win the Triple Crown? Which is a huge storyline, but it's not as big as the one we used to have.
No, it really is, Tim, and which brings me to my next question. I mean, you never know where that next monster is coming from, where that next superstar is coming from. I mean, it's neither here nor there, I guess, but could you make the argument that if Justify came along maybe 10 years after American Pharoah, would that not have been better for the sport?
Yeah, it's so risky to say it would have been better for the sport, but it definitely, you know, as a guy who's out here to write about it and tell stories about it, you know, I could have used another few years, you know, just to let the, you know, the one thing you don't want is people that aren't really familiar with the game to have this happen and say, okay, now that's twice in 4 years. I guess it's not that big a deal anymore, when it's still a huge deal. It was a huge deal when it happened three times in the 70s, which is a long time ago, but, you know, all those horses were tremendously respected for what they did, even though it happened three times. And, you know, a few more years would have been great. But Jim, I'll say one thing, you know, in terms of the race itself, Justify looks so good that if he were to win by some huge margin, some massive daylight, that might change things a little bit too.
Tim Layden is joining us. I think that's a point that's well taken. Now, when you look at him, Tim, as a horse, Justify, what do you see and what are the qualities of that animal that impress you the most?
The thing is, he's, you know, like American Pharoah was like, sort of like lean and athletic. You know, he only weighed 1,150 pounds, which isn't a ton for a top-level racehorse. Justify weighs 120 pounds more than that, and he's just hugely muscled in all the places that, you know, a great racehorse would be muscular. But he's so big that when Baffert and those guys first saw him, they thought, well, this is a tremendous animal with great speed, but he's not going to be able to run very far. And then what it turned out is when he started training and started racing, he didn't stop. So what he is kind of this freaky combination of speed and strength, but he can also keep going. And we're going to find out tomorrow if he can keep going a whole mile and a half. But, A mile and a quarter at the Derby did not look like a problem, and he's just too big and too strong to be able to go this far. And, you know, when you look at him on the track, he just doesn't look like all the other horses out there training or racing. And, you know, when I was at Baffert, he just compared Pharaoh to Michael Jordan and justified a LeBron James in terms of the way they look and behave and in terms of their athletic skill set, you know. And, you know, it's horses aren't humans, but if you want something to use, that you can go with that.
You know, I was going to say exactly the same thing. You beat me to it. He's like LeBron. He looks like LeBron. He's got that kind of build and that size. I don't know, Tim. I mean, we'll find out, right? I'm not sure he's a mile-and-a-half horse, but that takes nothing away from the horse. He's unbelievable. That's an amazing horse. We'll find out if he gets the mile-and-a-half. Let me ask you about the rider. Tim Layden's my guest. You had a great piece earlier this week about my guy Mike Smith and his road to this point. Even people who don't know racing that well know Mike Smith's name, and they know the legend he is. But Tim, you went back to 2002 when he was 37 and he was still trying to rebuild himself and his career after a brutal crash in 98 that left him with a couple of fractured vertebrae. How would you describe where Mike was in his career back in 02?
You know, he was at a point where, you know, the way that works for jockeys in this game, and again, Jim, you know this, they spend a small part of their time riding horses in races in the afternoon and a big part of their time going out to the track in the morning with their agents trying to drum up business, trying to get the best trainers to put them on the best horses, because nobody can win a bunch of races on a bad horse. And in 2002, Bob Baffert put Mike Smith on a horse named Vindication, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and looked like he might win the Kentucky Derby the next year. And then Bob Baffert took him off and put Jerry Bailey on the horse. And he told Mike Smith at the time, "I'll make it up to you someday." And he's put him on good horses since then, Bodemeister, Painter, but they've had, their relationship has gone up and down. And finally he put him on Arrowgate in 2016. It was a great, great horse. And when he was looking for somebody to put on Justify this spring, he decided to put Mike Smith on him because he wanted somebody that he could trust and that he knew wouldn't make big mistakes under pressure. And after the Derby, he told Mike Smith, he asked him if he remembered Vindication, and Mike nodded, and Bob Baffert said, "We're even," and then he used a phrase to describe it, which we can't say on the radio.
Yeah, and believe me, Mike remembers everything, so trust me, believe that Mike remembered, because he does. He remembers everything. Tim Layden is my guest. What's to say about Mike as a jockey, Tim, and the work that he puts in, that where he was in 1998 was over there, and where he is right now in 2018? And I understand that he still gets great rides.
Yeah. Jim, Mike made a decision in 98 when he had severe broken vertebrae in the middle of his back, not his low back or his neck where you see this stuff, and he decided not to have surgery to put rods and plates and things in there because he wanted to make his body heal. And right around that same time, he went to the gym, and he's been in the gym for 20 years since. Doesn't lift a big weight, but, you know, 4 years ago I saw Mike Smith put up 220 pounds on a bench, and he weighed about 113 at the time. So you think about that, and he was 48 at the time. So just a phenomenal athlete, and at the same time, he's ridden so many races with so much money and prestige on the line that he's going to deliver a performance that the horse deserves. And that's what the trainer wants most. That's what the spectators want most, is a guy who can give the horse the best chance to win. And 99% of the time, that's what Mike does.
Big money, Mike. That's an amazing thing you just shared, that anecdote, that this guy can put up twice his body weight at age 48 is incredible. What about the draw, Tim? He gets the rail. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And what's the weather look like?
Weather is going to be great. So this will be the first time we've seen this horse in a classic on a fast track. It's a heavier track. That's the way Belmont is. So yeah, the horse seems to love it. He's trained on it twice and seems to like it, but that's something to factor into your thinking. The post, I mean, it's not great. I mean, it's a mile and a half, so there's plenty of time to get out of trouble. But at the same time, if he doesn't break sharply, I think Baffert and Smith would both like him to get to the lead and just stay there and just gallop around like American Pharaoh did. But, you know, there's other horses in here. There's some talk about Noble Indy, who doesn't really have a great shot, that might take on Justify early and try and take some starch out of him so that another horse by the same trainer called Vino Rosso could possibly pick up the pieces at the end. So I think, you know, the key thing is he wants to get out of there and run, not get squeezed down by somebody on the first turn. You know, Bob told Mike Smith, "I'm going to show him the videotape of Big Brown, who didn't break in his Belmont out of the one post." And, you know, I don't think that cost him the race, but it put him in a tough spot all the way around. So the key thing is Mike just needs to get out of there and avoid trouble. And if somebody wants to take a shot at him, he's either good enough to handle that or he isn't.
And that's what Mike is so good at, just keeping the horse out of trouble, putting him in the right place. And Tim, finally, if you were to play this or bet this, would you bet the champ or would you bet against him?
I would bet the champ. But you know, again, if you're a horse player, I think he's going to win, Jim. I just think watching him out here, he just looks spectacular. We don't really know until he gets to the quarter pole, and that's and nobody knows. Baffert doesn't know, Smith doesn't know, nobody knows. But I think he looks so good. And there really isn't that much in there that can beat him. Hofburg is a horse that ran in the Derby and got in trouble and finished strongly, but I don't think he's good enough to beat the best that Justify has. So I'm saying you play the champ, and then maybe you look for some exotics below it. Maybe you like to bet Gronkowski because you like his name. I think Hofburg is going to be the second choice. There's no money in that. Maybe Vino Rosso, who's the horse that won the Wood Memorial here in New York on a different track, but he might be coming at the end. So, you know, but you bet that $2 on Justify so you have the ticket that you can frame and, you know, put in your office next to a horse picture somewhere.
Exactly right. Last thought, Tim, you made this point, and it's a really, really important point, I think. It's going to be Justify's sixth race in 112 days, and these are not ordinary races either. How big of an ask is that of any horse?
Nobody thought that he would be able to get this far. But a lot of people thought he wouldn't win the Derby because he'd been rushed to the Derby in a short time in 77 days. So he's 5 weeks into uncharted territory already, Jim. So, you know, he's going to need a rest at some point. I think most people would have thought it would be by now. But he just has shown no signs of being tired yet. But if it happens, it shouldn't be a shock to anybody. But that's not what he's showing anybody. So he's going to wind up. If he wins a Triple Crown, he's going to do it having race started 4 months later than any other horse that did it. So it's pretty amazing.
And I don't care how recently it was done, Tim, you know this. If he does it again, that's an amazing accomplishment and should take nothing away from the fact that it was done just a few years earlier. Senior writer for SI, he also works for NBC Sports, and you've got the Belmont Stakes tomorrow. Tim, always love talking horse racing with you. Thank you very much, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jim. You too.
Great job, Tim Layden. So do you bet the champ or do you bet against the champ? He's an amazing horse, but it's a really big ask. And that's a mile and a half. I'm not sure. I mean, he is a classy, classy athlete, equine athlete. But I'm not sure that he's got a mile and a half in him. We'll find out.